Welcome back to our special Memorial Day broadcast brought to you in part by Federal Premium Ammunition and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. I'm also the host of Minnesota Military Radio, which can be heard Sunday mornings at 7 on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. And if you tuned in for Up and Adam this morning with Andrew Lee and Jack Tomczak, they'll be back tomorrow morning. Today we're talking about Memorial Day and remembering those who have given their lives in service to our country. And my co-host for the second hour here is the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Commissioner Larry Shelledo. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Well, it's good to be back, Tom.
Seems like we're making an annual event out of this. I believe this is our fifth year, sir.
Oh, yes. I got the route all taken care of, and I appreciate you making the interstate relatively free so I could get here on time.
So this morning is good, but wait till if you get anywhere near Fort Snelling, it's going to be full out there.
Well, yes, because I'll be speaking there at 10 o'clock this morning, and so, yes.
We understand out there that there's at the Fort Snelling National Cemetery, there's a parade at 9:30 and a program at 10. They'll have music, speakers, display of military vehicles, and more. And, Commissioner, I was out there yesterday to visit some of my relatives, and it was busy already. So my advice to the listeners is get there early, and there's going to be some traffic, and we better get you off the show on time so you can get out there too, sir.
Okay. Very good.
Commissioner, Memorial Day. A lot of folks confuse it with Veterans Day. There's two different purposes, aren't there?
Yes. Memorial Day is to remember the fallen who've given their lives for our country in combat and war, in their service to the country. And Veterans Day is where we stop and celebrate all who served our country in uniform.
Commissioner, anyone that's listened to Minnesota Military Radio and heard you and I talk before know that we both go back to Vietnam. You were a young lieutenant in Vietnam, and of course, before you were the commissioner, your last position in the Minnesota National Guard was adjutant general. And I imagine on Memorial Day, you've got folks from Vietnam back in the 70s right through to when you were adjutant general that you think about.
Yes, that's very much, close personal friends, in Vietnam. And young troops that I deployed as part of the system who made the ultimate sacrifice. So, yes, this is a very, very special and personal day for me.
Commissioner, we started the show. We played a clip from a prayer that Franklin Delano Roosevelt read on the eve of D-Day when he was sending over all of those thousands and thousands of troops to invade Germany. And it occurred to me that he knew that he was going to lose thousands of troops the next morning. And it's a little different when you were adjutant general. You were in charge of 14,000 soldiers and airmen, but you deployed people all over the world. And how does it feel to be the commander of those troops and to put them in harm's way?
Yeah.
Tough question. Sorry, tough, sir.
You know, it's a very, very somber decision, but, you know, also you did it, I did it. So fortunately, I reflected back to how did I feel? Was I scared? Obviously. Did I know what was going to happen? No, I did not. But I knew that you know, this is what I had agreed to do. This is what I wanted to do, in a sense, if that really makes sense. But so it was, I think it would have been tougher on someone who had never served before than it would be to, like you and I, who had been over there and had done it and said, all right, this is part of the system. And they knew what they were signing up for. The irony of it, one of the things I noted with the Guard was the, a lot of people join the Guard to get their college education. Very admirable thing. And I remember looking at a young gal who had just graduated from college, had just gotten her first teaching contract, and then right after that got her deployment orders. She was obviously disappointed, but she went and she served. And I'm very, very proud of her and all the troops that did. The beauty of it is we had no one say, I won't go.
Well, we sign up. And we do our duty, and we go. And I think I saw a quote once, I think it was John Wayne, that said, courage is being afraid and saddling up and going anyway.
Perfect quote.
And when you're deploying like the soldiers in the Minnesota National Guard do as hundreds at the same time, they're probably all a little apprehensive and scared, but they're going to take care of each other, get the mission done, and get home.
Yes, the friendships created the, deploying units was actually somewhat easier than deploying the individual. See, in our days, it was, statistically, there weren't that many that got drafted. Everyone thinks everyone got drafted in the Vietnam War, but less than half did. I think there was one figure I saw was 20-some percent. But in my case, it was, well, you can either enlist now and get your choice, or in about a month you're going to get your draft notice and you'll have to go and we'll put you where you want to go. So I enlisted. I joined. And so it's kind of a catch-22.
And still young combat lieutenant and in the thick of it back then.
Well, yeah, a lot of people don't know what I actually did, and that was, mine was a unique experience because I was assigned to a mobile advisory team. It was myself and four NCOs. Part of the time I had an assistant lieutenant, and we lived literally in the village with the Vietnamese. I worked then most closely with Koreans, and then the least contact I had other than going back to the bases, the air base or Quinyan, where I was close to, was the Americans. So I was blessed by learning a different culture, different way of life, and I found that experience to be professionally rewarding.
It was serious business in a war zone, but I guess you're telling me it took four NCOs to take care of one lieutenant, sir.
No, it took, a lot of people, I'm very proud of what they trained me well. They trained me well, and the first month there, they asked a lot of questions. After that, there's that bond of trust that was created, and we moved forward from there.
Commissioner, there's a couple other events you want to talk about this morning?
Well, we've got a lot of events going on in the state of Minnesota, and obviously the flagship is at the Fort Snelling Cemetery, but I just have a list here. We have a ceremony that's going on at Fergus Falls, at the Fergus Falls Veterans Home. In Hastings, our Veterans Home has a ceremony at 9 o'clock this morning. We have one at Laverne and one in Minneapolis at 2 o'clock that I'll be at, and Chaplain Morris will be speaking there also, and Silver Bay. So those are the homes. We're very, very proud of that. But also community events. Forest Lake has their Memorial Day service at 9 a.m. at the Lakeside Memorial Park. Obviously, Fort Snelling will have a prayer vigil this morning at 6:30. You passed that one, I guess. Other than that, we have the Glencoe, Lafayette, Marine St. Croix, Red Wing, Stillwater, all have services, so they need to just check their local newspaper and so forth.
Local paper or take a look at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs website.
That's right.
There's a complete list of all the events today.
You're keeping me straight, Tom. I appreciate
all right,
that.
Sir. Commissioner, we're going to have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk to some of the veteran service organizations in Minnesota. A little bit later in the third segment, we're going to talk to Director Patrick Kelly from the Minnesota Department of, or from the Minnesota VA healthcare system. And a little later, we're going to talk to Terry Popp about the Minnesota Military Family Tribute. This is a special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Special Memorial Day broadcast, which is brought to you in part by Federal Premium Ammunition and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, up and at 'em with Andrew Lee and Jack Tomczyk. I'll be back tomorrow. I'm the host of Minnesota Military Radio, which can be heard Sunday mornings at 7 on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. And my co-host for this hour is Commissioner Larry Shelito from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And Commissioner, very special day, Memorial Day, and in honor of that, we've got a couple of veteran service organizations joining us. First, we have Peggy Moon, who's the commander, department commander of the American Legion, and Stephen Whitehead, who's the adjutant of the Minnesota Department of Minnesota Disabled American Veterans. Peggy, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Good morning. And Stefan, are you with us?
I am, Tom. Good morning.
All right. Good morning to both of you. The commissioner's here. And Peggy, we want to start with you. Well, what does Memorial Day mean to you, and who or what do you think about on a day like this?
Well, I'll tell you exactly what I'm thinking about today. I lost my father in October, and today is the first Memorial Day that his name will be read at Bellwood Cemetery outside of Zimmerman. So it's a special day.
And Peggy, as commander of the American Legion, department commander, are you going to be out and about today at some of these events?
So I will be at Fort Snelling at 10 o'clock, hopefully joining the commissioner out there.
Well, hopefully.
Okay, now I got to be really good. Okay.
Yes, you do, commissioner.
Say, by the way, Peggy, I want to thank you for being up at our first women's conference at Cragen's. You did an outstanding job. Thank you so much.
That was delightful. The staff did a great job. We had a good turnout, and I really enjoyed participating in that.
So, Peggy, what do you want the listeners to know about Memorial Day?
I want them to know that all across this state, the members of the American Legion have been out probably beginning at 6:30 paying tribute to all of those that we have lost, not only in battle during war, but also those that have bravely served and that have passed away since. They, like I said, I think Elk River started at 6:30 this morning. A couple years ago, I had a chance to go up with the Leech Lake American Legion, and believe it or not, they do 35 cemeteries. They start out early in the morning, and they go till nightfall, and wherever they have a veteran buried, they make sure there's a flag, and they fire the rifle. So it's a very, very special day.
So the American Legion's been really busy. Stefan, what are the members of the Minnesota Disabled American Veterans up to today?
Well, just like the American Legion, the DAV is also recognizing all the veterans across the state. A lot of our leadership is going to be doing speeches to make sure that the public understands the importance of that we don't never forget those that have given their ultimate sacrifice to allow each and every one of us to do what we do and do the things we enjoy, and that's the freedom of this country, and that's, you know, giving the thanks to those that laid down for us before us.
Stefan, is there someone you remember on Memorial Day?
Actually, it was 18 years ago today that my dad passed away. So it was Memorial Day weekend is a very special place to me, starting 18 years ago. So, yeah, it's a very, very tough and very moving weekend for me.
Stefan, as our regular listeners to Minnesota Military Radio are aware, the DAV Minnesota does a lot of good work, and one of the things you do is provide vans all over the state. And Commissioner and I just wanted to know, how are you doing finding volunteer drivers?
Well, we're getting there. We're always looking for the drivers. That's something that, you know, is always a need for drivers. We're obviously getting ready to start up the Northeast Corridor kicking off here in June, and we have enough drivers to get started, but we're always looking for more for the Northeast, so that's up by Duluth, Grand Marais, and Virginia, Minnesota, looking for volunteers up there. But as well as now also over in the Northwest, we're always looking also for St. Cloud, Bemidji, Park Rapids, and Wheaton, Minnesota. And then also, of course, right there in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis, we're always looking for drivers. Always looking for it. But, you know, without those volunteers, the DAV's transportation program would not be what it is today. And those volunteer drivers are just amazing.
So is your new program up in the Arrowhead started where you bring them in by van to Duluth and then bus them down to the Twin Cities? After?
Not yet. We're still waiting for two more vans to be delivered. They should be in here, I think. Well, they were supposed to be in this last week, but I think because of the holiday, the truckers that were supposed to bring it up didn't come in. So I think they're coming in next week. So we're looking at kicking off that second week of June that we'll be getting the wheels on the road and start bringing veterans down.
Stefan, is this program being replicated in other states?
No, not at this level. A lot of the states actually use the partnership between the DAV and the VA medical centers just through the chapters or the actual department, and the chapters themselves will run it. You know, what we do here in Minnesota and the partnerships that we have with the State of Minnesota Veterans Affairs and the DAV, all the service organizations, the VFW, American Legion, Purple Heart, and all the volunteers that we get, and just because of how we have it spread out across the state and putting these vans in the communities, yeah, it's I don't know myself of any other states that are doing it like this.
And you're getting good support from the federal VA, is that correct?
Absolutely. You know, the federal VA is very excited about this program and how we're really trying to branch out and, you know, develop something new and really look for new ways to help those veterans get to the VA. You know, obviously with the VA, the federal VA, trying to come up with the Veterans Choice Card and all these things, that's, you know, not the solution to everything. So looking at the transportation piece, the federal VA is very excited about this relationship that we have and how we're really looking at trying to expand the program.
Peggy, I hope you're leaving for Fort Snelling soon. It was plenty busy out there yesterday when I visited. Traffic's probably going to be heavy this morning.
That's okay. Carl and I came in early, and we're just across the street. So we'll be over there about 9 o'clock.
We'll save a place for the commissioner. He'll be out of there as soon as he leaves the show.
We'll try to make sure he's got a parking spot.
All right, have a great day. And, Stefan, thank you for all the work that you and all your volunteers do as well.
I appreciate it, Tom. Commissioner, you have a great day, and everybody enjoy the day.
Thank you.
Take care.
This is a special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. When we come back, we'll be talking with Commissioner Larry Shelato and the director of the Minneapolis VA healthcare system, Patrick Kelly. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to our special Memorial Day broadcast, brought to you in part by Federal Premium Ammunition and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. I'm your host for the day, Tom Lyons, and I've been joined this hour by Commissioner Larry Shelato from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And Commissioner, we want to talk in this segment about the VA and their mission statement was to fulfill President Lincoln's promise to care for him who shall have borne the battle and for his widow and his orphan, by serving and honoring the men and women who are America's veterans. And Commissioner, joining us now is the director of the Minneapolis VA healthcare system, Patrick Kelly. Director Kelly, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Tom. Good morning, Commissioner.
Good morning.
Director, for those who might not know, you are a retired Navy captain, and you served most of your career in the Navy was running healthcare facilities. Is that correct?
Yeah, so I had 29 years in the Navy, Tom, of active service, and, you know, one of the great things about military service and certainly being in the Navy is that, you know, I had a chance to serve in a lot of different places and overseas and headquarters level, a lot of hospitals and field hospitals. So, yeah, I missed being in the Navy, but it was, I retired in 2011 and just wouldn't have done it any other way. It's a great way to serve your country.
And, Director, is there anyone or anything special you think of on Memorial Day?
Well, you know, one of the things that always comes to my mind, and I know Memorial Day is all about honoring service members who died while serving. You know, when I was a fleet hospital commander, the start of OIF, we had a lot of service members come through our hospital, some of whom died as a result of their wounds. And so that's sort of the most poignant memories that I have about service members who served and sacrificed and died in service. But, you know, we also have a long family tradition in my family of going to the cemetery on Memorial Day and honoring all veterans. You know, my uncles, people who I've known who passed away, who were veterans, not necessarily on active service, but who died. And so we've done that for many, many years. And it's a good time to sort of reflect on active duty service and sacrifice. It's a good time to reflect on how we're honoring, you know, today's service members and how that honor that we're providing today's service member really ties into, ties into their willingness to serve and their willingness to sacrifice themselves.
Director, I believe you've been the director of the Minneapolis VA healthcare system for about a year and a half. You came up about the same time that things all over the country sounded like they were getting tough and hot spots down in Arizona and all over the country, but the Minneapolis VA Medical Center and the VA healthcare system, I think the commissioner and I are both patients, and I think the care there is fantastic. But you started at kind of a tough time, didn't you?
Well, it's been almost 2 years for me, Tom, and so I've got 4 years total service in the VA, and it was, the last year has been the most difficult, and I think, for several reasons. You know, one, sort of what's happened nationally, and I think that's created a fair amount of tension here locally too. You know, so I'm proud of the work that our folks do at the VA in Minneapolis, and I think, we're doing good work every day and work to be proud of. But I also recognize that, you know, veterans nationally have lost some confidence in the system, and we're working really hard to restore that trust and to make sure that, they can count on us, because, they've earned it. It's our job to provide the service to them, and they should be able to count on us to provide good service every time.
Well, Dr. Kelly, I just want you to know, as a customer of yours, I've been treated very, very well, so I just want to thank you. Is there anything special that's going to be happening at the VA Medical Center today?
Yeah, so we have, we're closed, the Memorial Day service closed for outpatient care, Tom, but we have, we have about 225 inpatients in our hospital today, and as millions of Americans enjoy some sort of an outdoor activity, a barbecue or something out of doors, and I hope that's even true for us here in Minnesota soon. We celebrate an indoor picnic at the VA for our inpatients, so, we're going to have a lunch that includes, traditional, barbecue chicken, corn on the cob, potato salad, type of things you'd have with picnicking if you were out of doors. And then in the afternoon, we'll have bingo, recreational activities and other sorts of entertainment, particularly for our veterans who live in our community living center, which is our sort of the equivalent of a nursing home. And, we have about 80 veterans in there who stay with us for quite some time, and it's especially important that we have activities and we honor them, because they're less mobile. It's difficult for them to get out and get around. And so we bring activities to them. And so today is going to be an indoor celebration. And you know what? We don't have to worry about the weather. So maybe that was a good plan.
Okay. there's been an awful lot of construction going on at the campus there. Can you just give our listeners a summary of all the things that have happened just in the 2 years you've been there?
Sure. Some of the things that are most visible, Tom, certainly on March 17th of 2014, we opened the parking ramp, 520 new spaces. And that has just been an unbelievable blessing, because, parking was a problem. Parking is now rarely a problem. And that means a lot to veterans. It's easy to get in. It's easy to get out. That's made life much better for the veterans that we serve.
It was your St. Patrick's Day party, sir.
It was. Oh, it was a big deal. I mean, I remember, I'll never forget that date, because we had struggled so much with, with parking and all the associated, people can't find parking, they have to walk a long ways, they're late for appointments. It was just a big inconvenience for veterans. So you just wouldn't believe at a service organization like healthcare, what a big difference it makes to provide close parking and access to services, because that's just really what we're all about. So that's been a big improvement. Did a lot of things with our flag atrium, the what's referred to as the visitor's entrance at the medical center, Tom, and the whole goal there was to move services into the atrium so that veterans wouldn't have to be moving great distances throughout the facility to do initial sort of things, checking in, checking eligibility, their cards, those kinds of things. And so that project we completed about 6 months ago, and my really big goal was to maintain the majesty of the flag atrium, because it's a beautiful area, and it's really resulted in better services, closer, and really a nice area for veterans to just chill out when they're waiting for their rides or to read a magazine while they're waiting for appointments. So that's been good and successful.
Yeah, Director, you've opened a couple of community-based outpatient clinics as well.
Yeah, so in the last year, Tom, we opened clinics in both Albert Lea and Shakopee, and those are continuing to grow. Typically those new clinics get off to a bit of a slow start. Veterans have relationships with their provider in Minneapolis or where they had previously been getting their care. So you open up new clinics and they sort of ramp up, and now the Shakopee Clinic in the South Metro was where we really have a lot of veterans living has gotten pretty busy. And Albert Lea is getting progressively more busy, and we did some good renovation at our Chippewa Valley clinic too, and so that's increased the number of veterans seen, increased the number of services. And so, you know, our goal really with much of that, Tom, is to get services in the community where the veterans live to minimize the amount of time that they have to travel and come to Minneapolis. And, you know, I realize a lot of veterans don't want to drive to Minneapolis and don't want to deal with all of that, you know, the traffic, the parking, everything else. So the more clinics we can do. We don't have any more planned in the short term, but I think we will be moving more services out of Minneapolis and into the clinics, and that's a plus for veterans. It just minimizes the time lost in travel.
And, Director, I know that out at the Minneapolis Medical Center, VA Medical Center, that you've got a strong chaplain there that helps on days like Memorial Day and Sundays and every day.
Yeah, we have a Father Damian Schell is the head of our chaplain service, and we have six or seven chaplains, full or part-time, and recognize that, you know, spirituality and the spiritual component of care and life is an important piece for us and for many of our veterans. So, yeah, we have an active chaplain service. We provide Mass twice a day and other services in the chapel, as well as those chaplains spending a lot of time in the wards visiting patients and meeting their spiritual needs. So that's part of being a whole healthcare system, that you meet all your patients' needs. And so yeah, spiritual care matters, and we have a good staff that's delivering good spiritual care to our veterans.
Sir, we just got about a minute left, but I know you've been holding a series of town hall meetings to talk with veterans about their issues. How are they going?
You know, they're good, Tom. We've had three, two in the metro area, one down in Rochester, and we're having a fourth one up in Duluth on June 25th. So, you know, we hear things that are sometimes not easy to hear. I mean, we hear that we didn't get it right, that our communication wasn't good. Sometimes veterans didn't get what they needed. And so, you know, it's all part, though, of regaining the trust of veterans, for us to hear their concerns and for us to act on those concerns. And for them to know that we are actively listening and that we value veterans' input. And that's what shapes our services. And the Secretary has said that's job number one. You know, that's we want to listen to veterans. We want to make sure that we're meeting their needs. So we'll have our fourth town hall. And on balance, Tom, again, sometimes hard to hear what we're hearing, but they have been a big plus and helped us to improve our services.
Director, keep up the good work. And thanks for joining us today on this Memorial Day.
Thanks very much, Tom. You have a great Memorial
Day
as well.
Take care.
That was Director Patrick Kelly, from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. This is a special edition, Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio. My co-host is Commissioner Larry Shelledo from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. When we come back, we'll talk to Terry Popp about the Minnesota Military Family Tribute. This is Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to our special Memorial Day broadcast, brought to you in part by Federal Premium Ammunition and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Commissioner, that was pretty enlightening talking to the Director Kelly. He's a busy man out there at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system.
Yeah, he's doing a great job, and that really is an excellent institution, organization, and we're very, very fortunate to have it up here in Minnesota.
I'm kind of happy to see that flag atrium finally done. It's beautiful again, but there was a lot of construction for quite a while.
Well, I think that VA is a lot like Minnesota's roads, always under construction. So it's gone. They've done an excellent job.
And Commissioner, there's another construction project that's been going on up at the Capitol for about a year.
Yes.
And it's a project that's called the Minnesota Military Family Tribute. And joining us now to talk about that is Terry Popp. Terry, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Hi, Tom. Thank you for having me this morning.
Terry, I know that you've headed up that committee, and you've been fundraising, and you've been talking to contractors, and you've been working hard for years to try to get this done. Can you tell us about the program?
Oh, yeah. It's actually wonderful. We are finally coming up to this final culmination here of it being built. We have our dedication ceremony for the Minnesota Military Family Tribute that's going to be coming up on Saturday, June 13th, with a formal program that's going to run from 10 till noon, and then we have entertainment from Rocky Lynn, a country band and country singer who does a lot of military music, and then the Steels, who are a local legend as well. So it's wonderful. It's a wonderful tribute that's being built on the State Capitol Mall. It will be a tribute to military family members, and it will link all of the Minnesota military memorials together from one end of the Capitol to the other, running from the Vietnam Veterans Memorial all the way over to the Korean War Memorial.
Now, Terry, for our listeners that may not be familiar with all the work you've done here in the Minnesota Military Family Tribute, it's a walkway on the state capitol grounds. Can you tell us a little bit about what it really is and what it looks like?
Oh, yes. It's actually a beautiful tribute that will consist of three elements. It runs, as I stated before, from one side of the Capitol Mall to the other, across pretty much the length and width of the Capitol itself. It consists of three parts. It was designed by HGA Architects. And the first part would be the Gold Star Table element that honors families that have given the ultimate sacrifice, which is exactly why we have Memorial Day today, which is celebrating families and those who have gone before, have given their life for our country. And then there will be the Story Stones, which are 87 stones, which represent each of the counties of the state of Minnesota, and on those we'll have correspondence that was written in between military family members and their military service members. And so it's got very poignant, some are very funny, and each of the counties made a submission that was chosen by a jury. It's just a wonderful part of the tribute itself. And then the final element is the Thank You Military and Veteran Family Walkway, which has 48 red autumn maples that will have beautiful red leaves on them in the fall. And red is a very important color to military families, as active duty military families wear red on Fridays in honor of their military service member. It will also have red gardens at both ends of, at either end, both the east end and the west end of the tribute, that again will echo the honoring of active duty military families.
And once again, that dedication will be Saturday, 13 June at the State Capitol grounds, and we'll be out there early and record a special show for Minnesota Military Radio, so we'll tell the state, the entire state and all 23 of those radio stations that carry the show, all about the Minnesota Military Family Tribute. And Commissioner, you're going to be there that day.
I'm going to be there. That is correct. In fact, I've been watching that development the entire time because it's right next to my office. And as Terry knows, she's been up on the fifth floor. You can get a view of the whole Capitol complex, if you will. And you can see how this tribute embraces all the memorials we have for veterans, but actually the entire campus. So it is extremely well done and very, very powerful.
And Terry, who all's invited and what time should they be there?
Well, the entire public is invited, and the formal program begins at 10 o'clock, so I'd advise everybody to get there early, probably around 9:30. We have 1,000 seats that we're offering. Some of it is reserved seating, but much of it is going to be open to the public. After that's gone, I would encourage you to bring your blankets, bring your lawn chairs, so that for additional seating, they'll be seating all the way up through the to the Capitol seats itself, and then we'll have the bands playing from noon to 2. So we do invite all of the general public to come. We have some parking for the public in the Centennial parking lot, which if you go on to our website, you can link up to a map that'll show you where the Centennial parking lot is located near the Capitol grounds. Or we do encourage our listeners to use the light rail. There are actually three light rail stations that are located near the Capitol Mall complex that are easy to use and they'll get you in there without having to worry about the parking. So everybody, we invite all of your listeners to join us, and thank you for all your listeners for listening to your program and for supporting the military. And then also thank you to Commissioner Shalito, who's not only going to be in attendance, but he is going to be speaking at the event that day. So we thank him very much for he and his wife Yvonne's long support of our program and getting us through all of this and helping along the way with everything that they could do. So thank you to
Terry, one last question. Where can people find out more information?
Oh, they can go onto our website at www.militaryfamilytribute.org. We're easy to find, so we're the Military Family Tribute, online first in the nation, first of its kind. So we're very proud of that fact, and hope that I know there are other states that are actually looking to follow suit. So this is a very big, important first for the state of Minnesota.
Terry, did you kick your husband out of the house this morning so he has to go give a couple speeches?
I don't have to kick Bill very far. He's actually very dedicated to what he does, and yes, he's going to be doing a few speaking engagements around the city today, honoring our fallen military members. And so, yep, he oftentimes does that. In fact, most times does that on Memorial Day. He's very dedicated to that cause.
You and Bill do a great job, and thanks for joining us this morning. I'm looking forward to recording the show on 13 June and seeing you for the dedication.
Well, we're very much looking forward to it. And, Tom, again, thank you. Thank you very much for all of your support.
Thanks, Terry. That was Terry Popp on the Minnesota Military Family Tribute to be dedicated to the state capitol on 13 June. Commissioner, we just got a few minutes left of this hour. I don't know where it went.
It always goes fast with you. You're a good host.
Well, it must be the good stories you tell, sir. Now, there's one little item of business we want to talk about.
Yeah,
this is Memorial Day.
This is Memorial Day, and it's, as you know, we ask everyone if they'd please remember to observe a moment of silence on today's activity at 3 p.m. today. This national moment of remembrance is to encourage Americans everywhere to just pause, just even for 1 minute. At 3 p.m. on Memorial Day, to remember and reflect on the sacrifices made by so many who provided freedom to all. So that is what we want to do. And I'd like to just share, if I may, an experience. My wife and I were in my times had the opportunity to go to Sofia, Bulgaria. And as we were walking about this country, in a former Soviet bloc country, all of a sudden the sirens just started blaring. And what is like I-94, all the cars stopped. And then they stopped, everyone got out, and they looked to a certain direction. They stood there, and after that minute, sirens stopped, got back in their cars, and continued on. So remembrance is not just unique to the United States. It's unique to the world. We must remember the fallen who have served their country. So that's my official message today.
Commissioner, we just got a couple of minutes left, but I've learned in almost 5 years of doing Minnesota Military Radio a lot of things about the Guard and the Veterans Affairs and Veterans Benefits and all of that. But one of the things that strikes me is that they tell me that less than 1% of the United States serve in the armed forces today. And that means 99% of the population doesn't. They go about their business, and they're free to do whatever they want to do and earn a living and chase the American dream and do all these things. But there's a couple of times during the year, Veterans Day to remember all our service members, but Memorial Day, think about it. The people, particularly World War II strikes me, when they went to war in World War II, they went and they weren't coming home until it was done.
That's correct.
I mean, they went and stayed for years in some cases, and the only way they were getting home is if they were seriously wounded or they died.
And in Minnesota, the Red Bull history, they were one of the first to go overseas. They were in North Africa right at the get-go. And they stayed till the end. So they were there. The artillery unit was the longest deployed unit in World War II.
And I understand that they had more days in frontline combat than any other unit in the history of World War II. And
that is correct.
And that's right here. The Red Bulls from Minnesota National Guard fought through the war. And, of course, General Vesey was commissioned in that war, and he was part of that. And we've got a long history here in the Minnesota National Guard, don't we?
Yes. Minnesota is... Yes, we do. Actually, we're also, we had the division deployed in Iraq. Our brigade is the longest deployed brigade in Iraq. So there's a lot of things that go on that, some of the things you see, sometimes it's not always nice to be the biggest, the best, or the longest, or whatever.
Go first and stay into it. Commissioner, we're just about out of time. I'd like to thank you for joining us today on this special Memorial Day edition, Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
Our listeners, coming up next in the third hour, we'll be joined by co-host Brigadier General John Jensen, and we'll talk to Senator Klobuchar, Governor Dayton, and we'll end the show by talking with the Minnesota Patriot Guard. This is a special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio, which can be heard Sunday mornings at 7 right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Hope you're enjoying the show, and we'll be back with another exciting hour in just a few minutes. Please stay with us. And Commissioner Schellenhoff, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you again, Tom.